Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is owner and publisher of Southwest Senior, Keith Welpley. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for inviting me. Southwest Senior has been around for almost 20 years. And the one thing we've learned is we don't pigeonhole seniors. In fact, we came up with the senior in the Southwest Senior name, really not for seniors. We did it for the young people who buy advertising and they need to put advertising in a senior publication. What we try to do with Southwest Senior is not pigeonhole them. A senior wants fun just like a young person wants fun. It's no different. It's just we move a little slower, you know? People, as they get older, you know, I heard it from a woman who was in her 60s, 67 years old. She says, I don't feel any older. I feel just as young and naive and unequipped to face the day as when I was 24. And, you know, that's the way I feel. I'm going to be 54, and a lot of our readers feel the same way. And you look around Las Cruces, and most of the productive things being done in our community are being done by people 55 and over. What is there to do for seniors in Las Cruces? Well, number one, live, make a living. That's what Las Cruces is all about. It's not like, you know, you have this category of things to do for people 55 and over. 55 and over are doing just what 24-year-olds are doing. They're just living. They're getting careers, second careers, third careers. But when it comes to recreation, Las Cruces is one of those communities that's really, really great for people 55 and over. Number one is people don't recognize your age. They address you no different. And also, we have recreation that spans planned recreation, like maybe the city has some exercise classes at one of the aqua facilities, but also things you can do on your own. One of the things that I promote a lot with people that I talk to who are first moving to the area is our ditch banks. Las Cruces has wonderful network of ditch banks. And, you know, in the heat of the day, you don't want to walk them. But during a period of, say, sun up 6 a.m. to about I would say 9:30 now because it is in the middle of summer. You can have a very enjoyable couple of hours just walking with your dog, walking with a friend. That's an excellent activity to have. It adds to your quality of life instantly. So that's one of the communities. And I'm more of an organic person. I don't think you need to have, you don't need to create planned recreation events. You just sort of do it on your own. There's a very active senior cycling community. I'm a cyclist myself, and they're very active, and they're very good. And this goes back to the point I was making earlier. We have people 55 and over who are cycling ultra marathon type cycling. I was riding with a woman this weekend. We happened upon each other, and she was pedaling, and she was preparing for a 300-kilometer randonneur race. These are there are people all over the place in Las Cruces who are 55 and over doing spectacular things. The idea that seniors are in rocking chairs, macrameing doilies is just so old. We don't even like the word senior. It's in the name of our publication. We'd prefer it not be there, but it makes it easier for people to know this does really cater to seniors. So there's a lot of things in this community that you can do. I would recommend anybody who wants to have more planned events, look at the city websites. The Department of Recreation, the Las Cruces Department of Recreation, has music in the park. They're doing movies in the park. They're doing all sorts of things. There's a wonderful thing coming up 4th of July with Don McLean. I mean, a lot of people 55 and over would want to clamor to see that. So if you want planned events, if you don't have time to sort of plan your own, the city website's a wonderful resource. Las Cruces has, in New Mexico, one of the only certified senior center in Munson Senior Center. Munson Senior Center is sort of the more traditional way of serving people 55 and over. You can go there for meals. You can go there for shooting pool. You can go there for all sorts of activities. And a lot of people do like going there, and it is the state's only certified senior center. The city had to jump through a lot of hoops to get that, and they did, a remarkable job under Shelley Modell, and the current administration at Munson is keeping that up. But Southwest Senior has to serve those kinds of seniors, but also the more, I don't know, maybe people from a cosmopolitan area who would never walk into a bricks and mortar senior center, but that doesn't mean we can't serve them the same way.
People that are coming in just to look for a senior community and local seniors, the people who have been here for generations, mm-hmm. What's the difference between those two?
Well, there's the aging in placers, they call them. And those are the people who've born and raised and they live here. And they are so important to the fabric of this community. You want to have an institutional culture, institutional memory of where Las Cruces comes from. The new people come in because they want a nice, quiet place to live. Maybe they're moving from a town in California, and Las Cruces reminds them of a time when their California town wasn't so developed. So we get a lot of those people, and they're important to the community because they bring a lot of the new ideas from outside the area. They ask the question more of why not? Why can't we do it this way? And that sort of expands the boundaries of what city services offer, county services offer. They sort of almost set a trajectory for the new Las Cruces in the way it serves seniors.
Those are some of the changes then you see with seniors in this community. They're coming from other areas.
Mm-hmm. They're bringing with them ideas. They're bringing with them different kinds of lifestyles. They're bringing with them money. A lot of them have come from very lucrative careers, and they're moving here, and they're a big part of our economic system here in Las Cruces. We want people to move here for lots of other reasons, but I think the positive fallouts from that is they bring their lucrative careers with them, and then they find second or third careers. And that's sometimes, I don't know if you find this, but sometimes your most creative ideas come when you're older. You've lived life, you've seen a lot of things, your most creative, successful ideas will come to you after you've passed the 50th meridian of life and you're in your 50s and 60s and even 70s.
And you're wanting to share ideas, mm-hmm. share things with the community?
Right.
Do sort you of find that?
Oh, yeah, the giving back. I find myself as I get older, and I'm 54 this year. As you get older, there's this natural tendency to want to give back to a community. You volunteer for Soup Kitchen. I was volunteering at the Soup Kitchen here in Las Cruces a couple of weekends, and the people who are there, they show up with ball caps, T-shirts. You wouldn't know who they were. But these people who look so inconspicuous, they're doing a job, cooking, preparing for the meal for the homeless to come in at noon. When you interview them, and I have a tendency to want to interview, they are remarkable people who have done spectacular things in their lives. They hold patents. They were the founders of big industry in some other part of the country. And here they are. They're putting together a meal to serve homeless people. And that's the other thing. We're getting people when they're at their prime in many ways. And one of those ways is wanting to give back, wanting to volunteer. Huge benefit to Las Cruces. Anybody who's spent any time listening or reading ways to push away dementia, Alzheimer's, you have to stay mentally active, and that means a lot of activity. There's a lot written on how do you keep Alzheimer's from sort of seeping in. It seems so ever-present in our society. One of the things they know helps is having a diverse lifestyle, that is reading a lot, doing puzzles, engaging people. The more isolated you become, the less you become engaged with people, the more likely you are to have some form of dementia and Alzheimer's. I think that's what fuels people at some level, but I think ultimately what fuels people in this regard is we all have hearts. We're all humans. We come here and we find ourselves this part of our lives. We've had good lives, give or take a few bad points. We've had good lives. We're happy that we're here, and we want to give back. And that's what I find so rewarding about the group of people 55 and over who live here in Las Cruces.
Going back to those you call aging in placers, they're living here, their families are here. Mm-hmm. Are they more than likely then to age in their homes rather than going to senior homes?
Well, the whole industry has changed. The typical course of action, you get older, maybe you can't take care of yourself, you move to some kind of a living arrangement where you're cared for. Now the industry has evolved to the point that people can live almost virtually their whole lives in their home. They find that you're healthier when you stay at home. Insurance companies know that it's cheaper to actually get people in their homes for healing and that sort of thing versus keeping them in a hospital. So the industry, if you look around, has a lot more in-home care, in-home health, which are two different things. In-home care would be people who you hire to come in and check on your mom or dad or check on yourself if it happens to be you you're hiring them for. And they would go do groceries. They would clean your house. They would help with a lot of the chores that you can't or don't want to do. The home health would be an organization you hire to administer medications, to make sure that you're following doctor's orders, to make sure bed sores aren't progressing, and that sort of thing. This is a part of industry that has grown, exploded, because people want to stay at home. And we attribute that to the baby boomers. The baby boomers are the ones who moved into this aging, and they're saying about their mom and dad, they're saying, why can't we do it this way? Mom and dad would have sort of walked into a nursing home or some sort of care facility, but it's their kids who say, they're the baby boomers who say, why can't we keep them at home? We want them at home. And so those baby boomers who sort of, they were the rebels in the 60s, are still rebels today in their senior years.
But they're going back, though, to the old times when families would take care of their elderly, of their parents or their grandparents, rather than putting them in a senior home.
You know, I've had people come to New Mexico and learn about the Hispanic culture, the Mexican culture. And one of the things that we can learn from the aging in places and from the Mexican Hispanic culture is this extended family concept. I'm from Illinois. I'm from the Midwest. And most of us, our model of living is you go to high school, you go to college, or you get a big job and you move away. People have moved away. The extended family concept never really, if it was there, it's long gone. But when you come to the border and you see how families are so willing to pull in their families rather than move them off to a place, that's something that we can learn. I think the aging in placers that we're talking about, that they're sort of retraining us on how to take care of our own, leave no one behind.
You talked about how the seniors or the elderly are taking care of their children or their children's children.
Mm-hmm. More and more, we're finding as the younger generation has fewer opportunities out of high school, out of college, and unfortunately they're falling onto bad times, grandparents are put in the position of having to take care of their grandkids in a serious way. I mean, anywhere from just sort of picking them up and taking them to school to actually adopting them or managing their whole young lives. And I don't know what's at the root of that phenomenon, but that is something that's taking hold. And thank goodness we have seniors who are willing to do it. They're still pretty young. I mean, what is 65 is a new 45. That's how we've changed. But all of that helps, even though it may be struggle at times, it helps to keep our mind fresh. And you know, all these, when you think your brain is going to explode from all that you have to do, it's probably doing a good thing for you internally because it's keeping your mind alive and fresh. But one thing that we find interesting, and I think people as you get older, you find more interesting, is history. We want to go back to that place in history that we find important, that we find fascinating. I have to tell you, I think about history a lot, and not because I'm a historian. I've never been a history buff, but I'm just so fascinated by where we've come as a society, as a collective. Our current issue of the newspaper has got a story about acequias. I'm fascinated by the whole acequia system, how it developed, and a lot of newcomers are fascinated by that. It's not the ditch banks you see EBID, and I was talking about walking on ditch banks. Those are Elephant Butte irrigation ditch banks. Acequia systems were the glue, the thread that held a community together, and people don't know that if they're not from here. They don't know how much acequias held communities together. Unfortunately, most of them have all disappeared. The water rights have gone all different kinds of ways, but history is one thing that you can't go wrong with seniors.
Well, going back to your newspaper, your monthly publication, Southwest Senior, how do you find articles for seniors to get engaged in?
Well, there's one thing that we never do, and that is we never pigeonhole seniors. I don't know, how do we find articles? I think what we do is we get together as editors and publishers and designers and friends and family, and we say, what's interesting to us? We have a lot of arts because plays are popular here in this community. Art galleries are popular. We're always going to do those. History is good. We have a new columnist we're real proud of. His name is Frank Newby. And Frank Newby is a writer here, a Las Cruces writer, and he writes a lot of military history. And you'll find his columns in every month. But again, it's all history. It's fun to revisit those times that we perceive as good times.
Are you getting more military seniors coming to this area?
You know, I don't know. I don't have my thumb on the pulse of that. I just know that New Mexico has a strong military history. And in particular, Las Cruces in southern New Mexico has a strong military history. Bataan Death March, really, you can focus in southern New Mexico and realized that people were pulled from that area. Bataan Death March, of course, those survivors are passing on. They're World War II era veterans. But they sort of set the stage for this phenomenal military connection that southern New Mexico has. You can't cover southern New Mexico without making military history a big part of it.
And that would include then seniors, because many of them are leaving us now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now we're into the Korean War and the Vietnam War era veteran. They're sort of front and center. But even when I interview those people, they have a strong connection to the World War II veterans before them. Different wars, different conflicts. These soldiers had a different experience for sure coming back from their respective conflicts. But there is this connection between military soldiers who have gone through conflict that is just really strong. So it sort of lives on in the new veteran. You know, the Vietnam era is an interesting era because now we have a confluence of two people, two seniors, the ones who fought in Vietnam and the ones who protested Vietnam. And when you get them in the same room, there's this respect between the two. Because somebody can be a conscientious objector and may have served the term in jail or prison that they had to serve to be a conscientious objector. They have respect for the soldier, and I've been in situations where the soldier has tremendous respect for them. And it's sort of like these groups of people come together in their older age now, and they see things through the prism of age. And, you know, that's a wonderful prism to look at things. It's sort of like the Monday morning quarterback in some sense. But there's this respect that protesters wanted to stop the war. We've evolved. You may have noticed this. We have evolved into a society that doesn't look at the soldier as a bad, even though you may be against the war. They don't look at the soldier. They don't blame the soldier. They have the utmost respect for the soldier. They can attack our government. We attack our government for the decisions it makes, but we have the utmost respect for the soldier. I think that was one of the things that we learned from the Vietnam War. After Vietnam, we treated our returning veterans abysmally, and we looked at them as part of the problem. Today, if you look at our current conflicts we've been in, we have the utmost respect, even if we don't like the wars that they're in.
So looking through the eyes of an aging community, it looks different.
Mm-hmm. Well, through the eyes of an aging community, I'm not sure how it is real different, except there's a lot of wisdom in that. And when you look at our community leaders, they're older. Thank goodness they're being led by wisdom as much as anything else. Our city council, I don't know how many senior citizens we have on our city council now, but there's always a component, a contingent of them that are 55 and over. Most of them tend to be. There's a couple, I think, now that are younger. Nathan Small, and I don't know if there's enough. But at any rate, there's always a contingent of our leaders who are aging, and of course our state legislators, most of them are 55 and over. Thank goodness we have that prism of age, because whether you're right or left or center, age is one of those things that just makes us smarter, you think, you hope, right?
How do you think the next 10 years will look for our aging community?
I think the next 10 years, I think what will we have? We'll have more of the baby boomers. I think the state of healthcare is going to just evolve very rapidly to serve the baby boomers who are younger and maybe have fresher ideas about how they want to be cared for and how they want their parents cared for. I think you're going to see a rapid escalation of healthcare that's provided here in Las Cruces. I think when you get to issues like climate change, for instance, I think you're going to see a lot of people turning to really address that problem, whether it is a problem or not. I happen to believe that it's a problem, and I think a lot of people 55 and over believe that it's a problem. Is it a problem we need to address? I think a very short time will tell, and I think in 10 years we'll be on our way to either saying, oh, you know, climate change wasn't all it was cracked up to be, or it'll be, yeah, this is a problem, we got to deal with it now.
And then also technology will have changed in 10 years.
Oh, yeah, technology. I mean, how many seniors now have iPads? The fastest growing, I remember I walked into, at Christmas time, I was buying, a couple of year Christmases ago, I was buying an iPad for somebody. So I stood in line, because by then it was just a big line. It was so new. And every single one of them had gray hair. And it was my turn to be waited on. I says, I noticed that all these people are seniors. Is that just today? He said, no. He said, everyone who buys iPads, they're all seniors. Number one is they have the money to just flop down. It's like $800, $900, $1,000 purchase. But they are so plugged in. It's iPhones, smartphones, and iPads.
And do you think also they want to keep up with their grandchildren's view of life?
Yeah. One of my very special people who helped found Southwest Senior, Donna Eichstedt, she passed away several years ago. And she discovered the internet in her older age, and she kept up with her family. But mostly, she had a doctor's degree in history. She became so productive and prolific on the internet. She was gathering information from experts in her field on different projects. She would get into book projects. She published several books on history, or edited several books on history. And I found that when she discovered the internet and how to use it, and she was doing library loans and she was doing everything. So seniors will use technology to research as well as do family. It's, again, they're not just sort of there. I say they. I mean, I'm one of the seniors now. I'm 54. We aren't just sitting in a rocking chair saying, oh, I think I'm going to see what my son's up to. I mean, we are hard charging because we know we're not going to sleep until we're dead.
Well, a lot of things are available for seniors in the community. Just by looking at Southwest Senior, our local newspaper, checking into the internet, which a lot of people now, as you said, are plugged in to iPads or their computers. But we still have that small percentage that is afraid to get into technology.
Well, we have something to learn from them, too, because as we move, and I don't know if you've seen our grandchildren or your children sort of become too glued to that media, our iPads and iPhones, we forget that there are human beings out there. And I think what we're always reminded of when we see our grandparents who've shied away from internet, social media, is that there's still a big, big life. And most the bigness of life comes from meeting people. You don't look at your little phone and see life. You look up from your phone, and that's where you see life. And that's what those people remind us of. And I hope that never goes away. I hope that as we get older, we say, you know what? I've researched all I want to research on this darn thing, and we throw it away, and we lift up our heads, and we see the big, beautiful mountains in front of us.
Which just became a national monument.
I know. Isn't that great?
That's wonderful. Well, Keith Welpley, owner and publisher of Southwest Senior, thank you so much for joining me on Puentes, being a bridge to the community.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.